you open your Bibles tonight to the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. When you have found that, if you would please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. Hallelujah. I'll begin with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Would you bow your heads? Father God in heaven, I humble myself before you tonight. Lord, we need you here. This very moment. I know the things I must say, and I pray the hand of your Spirit would be upon me. The hand of your Spirit would be upon them that hear what must be said. I pray specifically, Lord, give them ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Give them eyes to see the way that the Lord is showing. Give them a heart, God, that will admit the truth, will take responsibility, that you will bring them to a place of repentance before this night is out. Father, your hand has been with me all this time. I pray once again that same anointing that I have sensed every night in my prayer would flow freely in this house tonight. That the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted and would be glorified. For I ask it believing and already sensing your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. And then you may be seated. I know that sometimes when we are in church service and we're listening to the preacher minister, sometimes there are distractions. cell phones, little things. Sometimes it's a mark on your shoe. But I'm going to ask you to do your best to refrain from any distractions tonight. I have come with a heavy heart for the things that the Lord has shown me have caused a trembling and a quaking in my spirit that literally has not left me for days on end. I'm going to open this message tonight with something that happened just about a week ago. Saturday night, over a week ago, I had finished my devotion time, and I had gone and I had sat in bed, and I usually flip on some ranch show or something that shows, I don't know, property or something that bores you to death and then you fall asleep. And that's what I was trying to do. Sunday was coming and I wanted to get rest. And it was like most other Saturday nights, I suppose. I had been up for a little while and I had shut the TV off. I was getting tired and I fell off to sleep. And somewhere in the night, I don't know if it was late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. It doesn't really matter, I suppose. But the Lord gave me a dream. And in this dream, I was on what I thought to be a municipal or city bus. From what I could tell, it must have been an older one. I remember seeing the color blue on the metal and some rust spots here and there. That had nothing to do with anything. And I was climbing off the back end of this bus, going down a couple of stairs, on metal stairs, to get down to the ground. And as I begin to descend down the stairs, and I don't have the words really to say how it felt, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of this preacher in such a moving way, and this is exactly the way it came to me in the dream. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon me so heavily in the dream, I said to myself, this must have been what it felt like when Peter and John were on their way to the temple, being the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and they were going to pray, when the Bible says the Holy Spirit moved on Peter. And Peter stepped up to a lame man that sat outside the gate. You remember the story from the New Testament. And would say unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That phrase came to me while I was in this dream. And when I began this dream, I didn't really... Last Sunday morning, I related to Pastor and a couple others that were up here on the platform because I really didn't know a thing about what it meant. I didn't really know, have an understanding. I didn't have a meaning of what it is that the Lord was trying to show me, but I do now. For the Lord has since showed me exactly what that dream was about. And so as I begin to go down these steps under the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit, and I can only say it this way, I was driven down these steps by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in this dream. There was just a young boy there, probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years of age, and he was dirty. He was looked almost like one of the homeless young people that we see once in a while, and he was dirty and disheveled, and yet there, when you looked at him, and there was a wantonness in his eyes, and the Spirit of the Lord, as he moved so strongly and mightily upon me as I got down out of the bus, he said, reach forth your hand and touch the boy and begin to pray. And I reached out my hand in the dream. And all I can tell you was there was this supernatural glow that was all over me. I don't understand exactly what it meant, but I know it was where it was from. And I know it was from the realms of glory. And as I reached out my hand and began to touch that young boy, I had no idea what I was praying for at the time. And I just reached out in obedience to the Lord, and I put my hand upon his head, and I began to pray. And as I began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord, oh, for all intensive purposes, overtook this fleshly coil that you see here tonight. And I began to speak in other tongues, and it came with such a power and such an anointing that was there. And again, I don't exactly know what I was praying for, but I put my hand on his head, and the Spirit of the Lord began to speak through me. And I recall it, I could feel as if the words that I was saying, even though they were in another language, were going back to God up in heaven, almost like a supernatural prayer. And while I put my hand on this young boy and I begin to pray, there was, and I don't know how to describe this except the way the Lord gave it to me, in the background there was a city, and it felt like some kind of a third world country, and I don't know where it was, and I don't know to whom it pertained to, at least at that moment. And as I was praying and the Spirit of God was moving, everything in that background, I sensed it in the dream that it was not just a regular city bustling with people, but it was somehow the church. And I don't mean the church building, but I mean the church, the people. And somehow I understood this in the dream that it was the church. And while I was praying for this young boy, the Spirit of the Lord moving upon me the way that he was, everything in the background became black, pitch as night. And I didn't at the moment understand what this was about, but you could feel a resistance to what the Spirit of God was trying to do for this young boy in the dream. You could feel the resistance coming, and I gotta say this, all I can say is you have to love me to get to heaven, so hang with me in what I'm about to say. But in this dream, it was so real. It was the church, if you will, and they were resisting the power and the movement and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit that was taking place on that young boy. And not only did I feel it, but I could see that the young boy felt that same resistance. I was finishing up my prayer in this dream, and I was pulling my hand away from the head of the young boy, and I took a step back, and I could see he was resisting because of the peer pressure of the church at large that was behind him. But yet in his eyes, it was almost like the tears began to well up, and you could see that there was something in this boy that wanted to move with the way the Holy Spirit was moving in that moment. And then all of a sudden, I woke up. Now again, I did not know at the time what this dream was about. But here's what I've come to give to you tonight. Straight from the realm of glory, when the Lord spoke to me this week and said, this is what that is. The Lord said that as you obeyed and as you put your hand on that child in the dream, and there was a power that overtook you, and you began to speak in a new tongue, and that was the operation, that was the office, that was the demonstration of the Holy Spirit that I was trying to portend. And what you saw in that dream, and you understood it in the dream to be the church world at large that was behind in the background of this young boy, and yet they were influencing the young boy. And the Lord said to me, if you remember, as you looked up on the background of that city, that church, that people, whatever title that you want to lay on it tonight, he said it began to grow dark, and it got darker, and it got darker, and it got darker until it was pitch black by the time that you woke up from your dream. He said, be still and hear what I am saying to you. He said, be of an understanding that this is how I am seeing the church at large in this present day. And I said, God, what exactly is it that you're saying to me? He said, hear this. He said, when you take the podium on Sunday night, He said, you give them warning from me. That the judgment of God is impending. And the judgment begins in the house of the Lord. When we look out amongst the church, and you've heard us preach about this so many times, we can readily see the corruption. We've had it blasted all over our news about the sexual immorality of preachers that are falling by the dozens. We see the abuse. We even look and we see their false worship that they offer unto God. And it's easy to point the finger at what we would call these glaring issues in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit has come tonight to shed some light on the things that are just as dark in us. Last time I spoke to you, I spoke of the wickedness of Israel and how they served other gods and they were worshiping things that were created by the hands of men. We talked about their spiritual adulteries and how the Lord said, look out under every green tree and see where you have not been lain with. We talked about how it would withhold the rain. There are these things, deeper things, that have caused the rain to be withheld. I've been doing a deep dive study in the book of Jeremiah. And unless you're ready for God to deal with you, I don't suggest you do that. But I've been studying in Jeremiah, and chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, God is dealing with His children. And over and over and over, we see it again, how God is giving a message to the prophet Jeremiah to take to His people. Where God is complaining about their backsliding, where God is complaining about their spiritual adulteries, where God is complaining about their worshiping of graven images, where God is complaining about them worshiping other gods. And I even read in one place, He said, and you dare to bring that into my house. And time and time and time again, we see at times where the voice of the Lord speaks to the prophet Jeremiah, and He tells him over and over again, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other. These, if you will, cracks in the door of judgment towards the people of Israel, that I'm going to try to prod them to a place of repentance, but they would not go. And God would do a thing here, and God would do a thing there. And one day in the midst of all of this, we're talking about a backslidden, immoral, ungodly church. And they come to the prophet Jeremiah, and they said, we want you to go to the Lord, and we want you to ask the Lord to be with us and go out with us as we go out to face the enemy. We've got some trouble out there. And you know, they were banking on God being with them because He had done it so many times in the past. And they came to the prophet Jeremiah, and the prophet Jeremiah went to the Lord in prayer, and God spoke to Jeremiah, and He said, listen here. He said, not only will I not be with them, He said, I will not go with them, and I will not help them. He said, as a matter of fact, I am going to cause them to be given over into the hands of their enemy, and I am going to cause them to...
the Lord went on this long thing, and he began to talk about their deaths and how their young sons would be given in battle, and how the sword would visit their households, and there would be many that were going to die by the sword. And he said, unto those that don't die by the sword, they're going to be those that die by famine, and there's going to be pestilences. You're going to be starving to death, and you're going to have diseases that you can't do anything about. He said, you must understand that this is the way of the Lord. He said, so you return to my people and you tell them that not only will I not go before them, but I will not be with them. But in actuality, he said, I am going to fight against them. You would say, Brother Cooley, what in the world does some 2,600 years ago in the book of Jeremiah to today have to do with a modern day church? Well, I'll tell you, I see parallels. I see similarities like you would not believe. And I can see the same wickedness and the same demon spirits and the same backslidings and the same idol worship and the same false worship and the same gods that are being erected, and church people are worshiping them, and we want wonder what is going to happen. We're constantly praying for God to go before us in battle and to take up our cause. All the while we are stepping over into Baal's temple and we're worshiping Baal when we're not in the house of the Lord. Or we've got a foot in the world, as we call it, and we're dabbling here and there in the things of the world, and we're wondering why God is not sending the rain, and we wonder why God is not giving the miracle, and we wonder where God is. We pray. We pray. Oh God, come do this. I hear it all the time. Oh Lord, send the rain. Oh Lord, send the power just now. And we know the phrases. We know them inside and out. We've heard them so many times, we probably will never forget the phrases. But we're coming with these phrases before the Lord. And all the while, we're still taking our little trips. And we're still taking our little ways. And we're still holding on to those little things. Paul said it this way. He said, lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. But we're still holding on to them, and we think somehow that God in His graciousness and God in His mercy is somehow going to wink at what we're doing and turn a blind eye to it and bring us in somehow. If we can just stay with North Valley for a while, them old guys, they're all right. Somewhere along the line, God's going to bring them into the land of plenty. And I sure hope He does. But if that's you that I'm talking to tonight and you still have your dalliances, let me give you warning from the Lord. You're not going to make it there with us. I didn't figure I'd be shouted down. When I was preparing for this and I was praying, let me just tell you how it went. In my time of study, and as I told you the other night, I'll go into the bed and I'll watch some dumb thing to try to make myself fall asleep. And I had finished up with my devotions before the Lord and I had been praying. And let me just say it this way. I no more sat down in the chair to my desk and opened up the Word of God and began to read it. And I began to sense the Holy Spirit flow in my office. And I don't mean just once. I mean night after night after night after night after night. And I would sit down and I knew what was coming. I got to where I expected it. And sure enough, it began to come every single night. But a powerful moving of the Holy Spirit would begin to sweep over me. And I'd begin to, I don't know how else to say it, almost like another world would take a hold of me, and I would begin to pray, and the tears would begin to flow, and the anointing would begin to come, and it would begin to saturate everything. I almost felt like it was just flowing, and it was saturating my papers and my Bibles and my books and my desk and my chair and the floor and the walls. You could almost feel like it was going up, and the Spirit of the Lord would come so heavily upon me every single night, knowing what I would have to stand here tonight and say to you. And I would go to my bed thinking I was done for the night, and I'd watch my little ditty on TV, and I would get tired, and except all of these nights I didn't get tired. And I would lay there, the Holy Ghost would come in yet another wave. And I'd lay there in my bed and I would begin to weep. the hand of God would move over my soul and my spirit as if He was driving the same word that I'm giving to you tonight deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into my spirit. I'd get hoarse. And my face was all wet from tears. But I knew it was God. And I remember one night saying to myself, but Lord, I don't want to hear this stuff. Like Brother Server said this morning, you want me to preach that at North Valley? Uh-huh. Judgment is coming. I don't mean it's a ways off in the distance. I tell you with great urgency, judgment is coming. It's coming to the church. What do you mean, brother? What is it God's after? What if I'm not Thomas? I was afraid you might ask that. This is what the Lord gave me. He said, tell them. Said to me, he said, you remember when I spoke of my servant David? This was well after David and Bathsheba and his consequent repentance and coming back to the Lord at the same time that God said that David was a man after His own heart. He said this about David. He said, and David hated every false way. The Lord spoke to me and said, you tell them. I see all of their false ways. I see all of their false ways. I'm trying to keep blinders on. I hear things and I see things. I'm not stupid. But I'm not here to point out any one person. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, you're not fooling anybody. God has seen. Those ways that you put on when you're around church people. Because you want them to think good thoughts of you. But God has seen your fake ways. He knows the motives of everything you do. He knows the motives of everything you say. God knows, the Bible says, He's able to even divide between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God sees it all and He knows it all. And maybe you've gone for a while and you haven't felt that twinge, but I'm here under the direction of the Holy Spirit tonight to tell you that God sees it all. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord made a phrase in there. He said, it hath kindled a fire with God. Not a good one. It has kindled the fire of judgment with God. God, to say that God is so over it just doesn't give it credence. To say that God is tired of it just doesn't do it. It has kindled a fire with God, and God now has this controversy with His own church. He said, you tell them, you warn them, judgment is coming. I saw it in the dream. When the city kept turning darker and darker and darker until it was pitch black. The Lord said, I was showing you in the dream, judgment is coming. And it is not far off. What does that have to do with Moses and holy ground? Everything. Everything. I would sit in my bed at night and I would weep, God, don't ever let it be said of me that he had false ways. I said, God, don't ever let it be said of me that while he was trying to go and show others that he was serving God, he was really moonlighting over here with Baal. Don't ever let it be said of me that when your word came forth as strong and as sharp as it is coming forth tonight, and I feel it. Don't ever let it be said of me that I was too hard-hearted, that I could not receive it. Don't ever let it be said of me that I did not love you with all of my heart. He would tell the children of Israel that he was near to them by their mouth, by the things they would say, but their heart was far from him. God, don't ever let it be said of me that I wasn't willing to repent of whatever it is that you show me. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's going to point out to you tonight, and that's because I'm talking to you. He didn't send me somewhere else. He sent me here. Whatever it is, let me plead with you for a moment. Don't turn a deaf ear. Because this is what the Lord has showed me. I've spoken at other times, and they have suppressed it. I have spoken, that old Brother Cooley, he's just one of those. And they dismiss it, and they make light. But God sees. And he hears. And as Pastor told you this morning, he keeps good books. I said, Lord, what do I tell them? How do we get from where we are? He said, they must understand. Judgment is near. I turn on the news all week and all weekend long, and I'm hearing things. And these things that I'm hearing are causing me disruptions in my spirit. Let me explain. When I tell you that judgment is near, then I turn on the news and I see how our president has come to a place where he has manufactured this peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. And it's not just the Palestinians, it's the Palestinians, and it's the Arabs, and it's the Iranians, and it's all of these other things. And I heard something, and I've heard it several times since then, and it has troubled me. But I hear over and over and over and over again, I did this, I did that. I brokered this peace deal. I solved 7 to 8 wars in just my little time of being in office. And you got to understand, I'm a Trump supporter. Don't get me wrong. And I hear these things, and it's unsettling in my spirit. Yesterday, while watching some of the news and understanding that today was going to be the day that Mr. Trump was going to go over, President Trump was going to go over to Israel. And they were going to have a meeting, and he gets there, and he's up behind the podium, and he starts down the same line, and they're talking about the peace deal that has been brokered, and he's taking credit, and he's taking credit, and he's taking credit. And I thought to myself, you foolish man. You could do nothing if God hadn't made the way. You could not have done what you did in Iran had God not made a way. You could not have done what the United States forces have done all over this world in just this short time had it not been for God opening a door. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden I heard him talk about this eternal peace. And man, there was a shiver that shot up my spine. And I said to myself, oh dear God, no, mister. And he began to talk about this thing. He's gonna broker this eternal peace. And all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord come on me, and he said, remember what the Scriptures have said. It said that when they begin to seek peace and safety, he said, then sudden destruction comes upon them. God, how do we get from where we are to where Moses is at? When the burning bush is there and the voice of God begins to speak out from this bush to him, how do we transcend where we are to where that place is? Moses had taken the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He was, and this is about where we are spiritually, most of us. And he was wanting to go around the mountain of God. And so he took the flock to the backside of the desert. You understand anything about desert mountains and hills and stuff? There is nothing life-sustaining on the backside of the desert. And yet we're taking flocks back there. I ain't got time to delve into all of that tonight, but just let it suffice to say that there are too many preachers that all they are is interested in the mountain of God, and through the foolishness of their own hearts, they have led them to the backsides of many a desert, and the people are starving, and the people are wasting, and the people are being scattered, because there is nothing that is life-sustaining in the backside of the desert. And anyway, Moses is on the backside of the desert, but the Bible says that he continued on. He wanted to be around the mountain of God. And that's about where most of us reside today. We're fascinated by the mountain of God. We like it when it turns red, when the lightnings and the thunderings, when we know that God is visiting the top of the mountain. We like to kind of hover around it and try to catch a look-see. And that's about how deep we spiritually go with God. But can I tell you tonight that it is in the heart of the Father to get you from the floors of the desert up the side of the mountain to be in His grand and glorious presence, where the power of God can transcend everything in your life, and the power of the Holy Spirit can come upon you and fix everything that is broken and heal everything that is hurt and bring you to a place where there is total and absolute surrender to God, a place where the Holy Ghost can deal with you, where He can talk about your phoniness, where He can deal with your fakeness, where He can deal with your false spiritual empathies that you continue to put out there and try to make others believe that it's God, the Holy Ghost, that's on you, when you know deep in your heart it's not. How do we get there? And the Lord said, pay attention to the Scriptures. And I've talked about this probably 20 years ago. Well, I guess I haven't been there that long. Well, you realize I've been around here about 12, 13 years? I'm sorry. I don't know why. I keep thinking to myself, what the world happened? I get stuck. I've planted churches. I've pastored churches. I've been ministering for 37 years. And I've come a long ways, and I've never stayed this long in one place. Not here to talk about that. I know why I'm here. I used to question, but I don't question anymore, because I know it's for messages just like this. Moses was out tending the flock. And the Bible says that Moses saw something, and it was an everyday thing on the backside of the Sinai Desert. It's nothing to see a bush instantly combust and begin to burn until it's absolutely consumed. That happens all the time. That's almost a daily occurrence. It was nothing. But this day it was different. Moses saw a bush catch fire on the side of the mountain. The longer he looked at it, he realized it wasn't being consumed. The fire burned. It enveloped the bush, but the bush was not consumed. And the Word of God says that Moses said, I must turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord told me to say to you here tonight, how many times does He have to show you a burning bush before you'll turn aside and see? It's exactly what He said to me. How many more messages must come
before you'll turn aside and see. How many more times will he stretch out his arms? Before you'll turn aside. What do you mean turn aside? I mean turn aside. Moses forgot about the flocks. He forgot about the herds. He forgot about what he was there for. He forgot about what he was doing. You understand what I'm saying? All of his ambitions suddenly took a back seat. He must now turn aside. How many times in different ways and things of the like has God shown himself to you? First of all, let me show you this. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord was in the midst of the bush. Who's the angel of the Lord? I've read many commentaries. A whole bunch of them got it wrong. It was the same angel of the Lord that appeared to Abraham. As the three travelers showed up on his doorstep one day before the great destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the angel of the Lord that wrestled with Jacob in the mountain at the river Ford Jabbok. Where he wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night. It's the angel of the Lord that stood with Daniel in the lion's den and they didn't even hardly breathe upon him. Was the angel of the Lord. And in case you're not getting what this preacher's trying to tell you tonight, the angel of the Lord is none other than a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he is calling to you and I out of the midst of the bush. The bush is burning with a flame, but it is not consumed. And I said, Lord, I've seen that and I've talked about it, but what exactly is it? And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, that's exactly what I want to do with them. I want to be all around them. I want to envelop them and I want to burn like fire. That they will not be consumed. Rather, they will be used for the glory of God. You hear what I'm saying to you tonight? God loves you. He desires you. He is wanting you to get from where you are. Stop hovering around the mountain and begin to climb up the side of it. Lay down your weights. Lay down your sins. Lay down your fakeries. Lay down your false spiritual, whatever it is. And we talked about it the last time I talked to you about the false preachers and the false prophets that wanted to give a false word and that's all they know is false. Well, why in the world are we trying to pick up their bad habits? Why are we trying to do things that we say are of God when we know deep in our hearts they're not of God? Only problem is nobody's brave enough to say anything until you come to church tonight. There's one old boy that's brave enough to say, listen, if it's not of God, leave it alone. I didn't figure there'd be a stampede. Leave it alone. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Cooley. We want God to move this way so much, I know it. You don't want Him to move that way more than I do. Oh, you don't understand. We want there to be dancing in the Spirit. So do I. But I want it to be in the Spirit. You don't understand, Brother Cooley. We want there to be tongues and interpretation. So do I. What a blessed thing that God is. But I want it to be in the Spirit. You see, I feel like David and I hate every false way. And I'm not here to point out anybody tonight. Don't look at me like that. I can feel it. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not talking to one person. I'm just obeying the Holy Spirit and letting Him do the dealing. There are things that we want and we want them to be so much so because after all, we are known as a Pentecostal church. And what Pentecostal church is known if they don't have these signs, if they don't have these gifts, if they don't have these things. And I agree 100%. What kind of Pentecostal church doesn't have those? But let me once again, and I know I've done this before, but under the direction of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it again. God wants those things in His church. They were gifts that He gave unto His church for the perfecting of the saints. They were the gifts of the Spirit. They were the fruits of the Spirit. And God wants them all to be present and operating and flowing in His church. But church, hear this preacher tonight. If God is not doing it, leave it alone.
if it's just your want to that is inspiring you to do that thing, you're in trouble. Because God has seen it and God has heard it and He's taking account. And judgment, the thing about God's judgment when it comes, and I'm reading this again in Jeremiah, and the judgment of God is being poured out, and God says this is how it's going to be. There are going to be those that are going to die by the sword. And if they don't die by the sword, they're going to be taken in famine. And if they're not taken in famine, they'll be taken in pestilence. And if they're not taken in pestilence, they're going to be taken captive by an invading army. And the Lord said this about it. He said, you won't even be able to weep for the dead. You won't even be able to give support. Mothers and fathers won't even be able to go to the funeral of their sons who have died by the sword. Husbands and wives won't be able to mourn one another because the judgment of God, when it comes, it does not spare. I'm going to say it again. When the judgment of God comes, it does not spare. There's only one way. Yeah, you can go ahead and read it for yourself. God told Jeremiah, I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you over here. You see, those that are following the right way, God has a plan. God has a plan to protect us. God has a plan to keep us. He has got a plan to shield us, not just from the enemy of our soul that's out there. That's actually, when you read it, that's nothing. What God did to the world at large through judgment was nothing. His problems came with His own people. God will protect and keep while everything around them was being destroyed. You've come tonight on a soggy Sunday night. It's been foggy, it's been rainy, it's been overcast. You'll look around, you'll see there are more empty seats tonight than there was this morning. So I'm taking it for granted that you wanted to hear the word of the Lord. I stand before you tonight to tell you, you've heard it. Now will you turn aside and see? When Moses finally turned aside, we read it in the Scriptures. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, as he approached, that same angel of the Lord, and I'm beginning to like that more and more, that same angel of the Lord spoke to him out of the midst of the bush. Said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. God said, hold on a minute, boy. Just hold up right where you are. It was the Lord's way of saying, I see. You're responding. Did you hear that? When God looks at you, does He see that you're responding? He said, I see that you're responding. He said, but you must know. To come any closer, you must take your shoes off. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. Never lose sight that God is a thrice holy God. Never lose sight of it. You wonder why it's such a hard message tonight? Because He's holy. Why is He talking about the thoughts and the intents of our hearts? That's pretty personal. Yep. Because He's holy. Why does He want to deal with it now? Because He's holy. He spoke to Moses. I'm going to ask this and don't answer me. I don't want your answer. It's not for me. But when's the last time you heard God speak to you? Or have you ever? In Jeremiah, God was pouring out His judgments. And He told them those that wouldn't be killed would be taken captive. And at the end of it, he made a statement, and I haven't been able to get this statement out of my mind. He said, "And when I am done, they will know that My name is the Lord." That has shaken this preacher from top to bottom. No, you know, we it's light thing. That's, we call Him the Lord all the time. But no. God was saying, when I'm done with My judgment, they're going to know that My name is the Lord. There's not going to be any doubt. There's not going to be any doubt. You're not going to have to ask whose doings are these. Did you hear me? You're not going to have to ask what government is behind this. You're not going to have to ask what terrorist organization is behind this. Because by the time God gets done with His judgment, you're going to know that the name that will ever be remembered is the Lord. Revelation tells us He has got a vesture that is dipped in blood, and upon it it is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lord. Donald Trump is not the Lord. The United States military is not the Lord. All of the armies of the world put together, as they're soon going to find out, are not the Lord. They do not dictate. They do not have the power. They do not have the substance to say this or to say that or to do this or to do that. But our Lord has all the power. The Bible says, "Behold, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth." His name is the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel that in my heart. His name is the Lord. You're not going to have to ask who's behind it. You know God's behind it. And you're going to know that the judgments are from God. He said to Moses, he said, "You're on holy ground, you take off your shoes." You understand what that means. And I might have mentioned this years ago, but in biblical days, whenever a man would sell a piece of property and he was signing off on the title, the deed. In Bible days, they would walk the breadth of the land, and they would meet the new buyer on the other side, and they would take off their shoes. They would take off their right shoe, and they would give it to the buyer of the land, and they would say, "This is a sign that I am relinquishing all rights. I am relinquishing all responsibilities. I am relinquishing every claim, every call that I have to this land. When you purchase this land, I'm giving you my right shoe. It is now yours." And we think to ourselves, that's pretty heavy. Well, God told Moses to take them both off. You get what that means? That means, Moses, if you're going to be used of Me, you're going to have to take them both off. You thought you was coming around My mountain to hear the rumblings. You thought you were coming around My mountain to see the fire. You thought you turned aside to see a burning bush that did not burn. He said, "But I've got news for you. You have entered into holy ground. And from holy ground and from a burning bush, it is the angel of the Lord. It is the one who goes by the name of the Lord that is saying unto you, I'm going to send you unto Pharaoh." You see, the call does not come out of the need. He used to tell us that all the need represents the call. Liars. It does not. The need does not represent the call. That's why our churches are full of the foolishness that it's full of. Because we got too many jack-legged preachers that have taken themselves up behind pulpits that have decided the need represents the call. And they thought it was better than going out and working an honest job. And so they begin to set up their political empires behind the pulpits. And they're running a scheme. And they're running a sham. And they're running a false office. And yet they're saying they've been called of God when deep in their hearts they know they're lying. My place, but I'm going to say it anyway because I'm just got that kind of manners. You got a school of ministry here. I know it. And I'm not talking to anybody in specific, but I'm talking to the whole. It's fine if you want to get a closer walk with the Lord. I encourage you to do all of that. But let this preacher serve notice to you tonight in case nobody else has ever told you. If God is not calling you, don't put your hand to it. You hear me? If God is not calling you to minister, don't put your hand to it. There's a flip side of that coin. But if God is calling you to ministry, did you hear me? If God has perpetrated the call in your life, doom on you if you do not obey it. I remember that I was torn. Many of you look at me tonight, you see this fat, overweight preacher, and you would think to yourself, there ain't no way. But back in the day, I was the white man that could jump. No, that's what they used to say to me. Literally. I was the one that could run. I was a wide receiver and a tight end in football, and I had hands like Jerry Rice. That man didn't hardly drop nothing. I didn't hardly drop nothing. I was taught, if you can touch it, you can catch it. And I was good. And I was looking forward to scholarship. And I was looking forward until one night the Lord decided He had different plans. In a damp, dark basement, because I was literally the low level. Some of you will get that later. The middle child. You know how it is. There was eight of us. Anytime mom or dad would go somewhere, well, I'll take the three youngest. Oh, or I'll take the three oldest. There's two of us that was stuck dead in the middle. We ain't get going nowhere. It's another message for another time. I was in this dark basement one night, and I had given my heart to the Lord. I've told you about it on a Saturday morning. I think it was foggy and rainy. And the Spirit of the Lord, through a Jimmy Swaggart telecast, got a hold of my heart. I don't know what He preached. I don't know what... Well, I do remember one song, the opening song, Sometimes Hallelujah. And I remember sitting there folding newspapers, getting them soggy and wet on the inside because I was weeping. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And I would give my heart to the Lord. A very short time later, I would receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I am down in my dark dungeon of a basement, of a bedroom, if you could call it that. And I was sitting down there one night, and I think I was listening to an old Jimmy Swaggart album where he had Fred Johnson that was with him, thin glass of water, black fella from New York City. And he would, I forget what the name of the album was, but somewhere in the middle of that album, old Fred was singing, I keep falling in love with him over and over again, over and over again. And he would sing that song, and the power of God come on me that night. And I remember going to bed that night wondering what in the world was all of this stuff about. I've heard it. I grew up in Pentecost. My dad was a Pentecostal preacher. I've been around it all of my life. I kind of knew the ins and outs, but I didn't really know it for myself. when the Lord woke me up, if I can call it that way, with a dream from the Lord, three nights in a row, where He showed me in a church that had bright red carpet. And I remember being up on the platform, and I was wearing a black suit with a red, kind of like what I'm wearing tonight, black suit with a red tie, and I had a Bible in my hand, and I don't know what the world I was preaching, but I was getting it, and I was walking back and forth across this platform, and while I was preaching, I could feel the hand of the Lord calling me to preach the gospel, and three nights in a row, I had that exact same dream, and then one day, the Lord gave me the scriptures, and He says, go ye out into all the world, and preach the gospel unto every creature, and there wasn't nobody had to tell me, Brother Cooley, you need to do this, or you need to move in that area. Don't ever let somebody else move you in another area. You get your directions from God. You get your directions from the Holy Ghost. You allow God to get so close to you that He knows you're going out and you're coming in. He knows you're lying down and you're raising up. He knows whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, and He is what is interesting in your heart, in your mind. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. It doesn't matter how He goes about doing it, but God wants to get you from wandering around the mountain to begin to climb up the side of that thing and get into the holy presence of God, where God can speak to you. How do we get there? It begins by turning aside. Did you hear me? It begins by turning aside. Judgment is coming. You can see it if you have a spiritual eye at all. You can see the church world is growing darker and darker. More corrupt. I cannot believe the things I'm seeing. The world. I've got to tell you this and I'll move on. I was part of a large Church of God church, and I was, how do you say it? Odd. Don't laugh, that's not that funny. I was the odd ball out in the I tried to fit in. The ministry team, the singers and the musicians and stuff would sometimes go out to eat after church, as church folk like to do, and sit down at a restaurant, and I'd be tagging along and trailing along, and they'd be down at the other end of a long table, and they'd be talking about me, and they didn't think I could hear them. And I've heard some of the things they used to say. They used to say, "Oh well, he's one of those Armageddon preachers." That's what I said. I went and looked it up. What do they mean? He's an Armageddon preacher. And I remember hearing him go on. Look at him. Look at his hair. I started doing a little self introspection, and I'm like, "All right, what's wrong with my hair?" I did it then about the same way I do it now. And to them, that was an Armageddon preacher. Hair all slicked back. Then I heard them begin to talk about it. One of the singers, and hippie, spoke up and he said, "Yeah, we can always tell when the Lord's on him." Another one sat across from him and said, "Well, how can you tell that?" He said, "Look at him." He said, "Every time the Lord begins to move on that boy, he turns red. From the top of his head all the way down." And it's always stuck in my mind. There's no mistaking it. Can I tell you tonight, I thank God there's no mistaking it. You know, maybe I'm so white and pasty I do turn red when the Holy Ghost moves on me. I don't know, but that's all right. Red's my favorite color now. You know that. Let them say what they want to say. Well, what are they saying about you? I know, that's opening a can of worms. What are they saying about, you're an Armageddon preacher too? I don't plan to be here when that goes on, but maybe that's what they're looking for. I don't know. we were in this church, and boy, they thought they had, I mean, you'd have thought they'd, every one of them won the lottery all at one time. Back in that day, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, there was a famous country singer by the name of Terry Clark. Female. Sang a song, if I remember something about the title, "Somebody's Knocking, Should I Let Him In? Lord, It's the Devil, Would You Look at Him?" And goes on this tirade about how good looking the devil is in blue jeans or something like that. Country singer. Saturday night, filling the honky tonks, and beat myself again. The country bars or whatever it is. She was, I think she was partially blind or something like that. Famous. I mean, Nashville, whole nine yards. And our church was winning the lottery because we were getting Terry Clark to come on a Sunday morning. And she was going to play her piano, that blind lady, and sing. And by the time they were done, I wish to God she'd stayed blind and went down the road doing her thing. Because they missed. What are you saying? You see, they thought they had done a good thing by getting a little bit of the world in. You know, an old barn that's about to fall down, you can make it look a little better by throwing a fresh coat of paint on it. Women everywhere in the sanctuary just got nervous. He gonna talk about makeup? No, not really. Thank God, someone. Never mind. Don't say that. But underneath that paint, it's still an old barn. And I don't know what experience that Terry Clark had, but I knew by the time we were done, just because you change a few lyrics in your leading song does not make you a banner for Christianness. Does not make you a banner for righteousness. I don't care. I don't care if all these rap isn't even real music. I don't even know why they talk about that. I don't know why they bring all these artists in. They bring all these worldly artists in, these country music artists and these rock and roll artists, and they get a little bit older as they go down the road and they're not filling auditoriums anymore. So all of a sudden they think they need to turn aside and begin to produce a gospel album, and so they're pushing out their gospel album, but they're still in the bars on Saturday nights. They're pushing out their gospel album, but they're still in the honky-tonks on Saturday nights. They're still doing their thing in the world, but now they've got adding Jesus to it. Can I tell you that all they're doing is wandering around the mountain and they're not really getting anywhere? But God has called you and I to be separate from those things. He has called us to be different from those things. He has called us not to look like the world, not to act like the world, not to smell like the world, not to dance like the world, but to get along with Him until God the Holy Ghost has come in and washed us clean from top to bottom and has cleared out every cupboard and has cleared out every pantry in us and has made everything spick and span brand new. The Bible says, "Behold, all old things are passed away, and all things," hallelujah, "are become new." Do you understand what I'm saying? That when you come into a right relationship with God, there is no Saturday night in the bar and Sunday on the platform. You understand what I'm saying? You have forsaken everything that is behind. You have left the worldliness. You have left the ungodliness. And you have decided that you are going to live for Jesus. You may not be perfect, but you keep walking. You may not be perfect, but you keep striving. Because if you'll walk up the side of that mountain, pretty soon you're going to hear a voice come out of the midst of the bush speaking unto you. Come to holy ground. Come to holy ground. In closing, I want holy ground. Come devil or high water, I don't care. I want holy ground. Did you hear me? Stand to your feet. I don't know how else to say it with any more fervor than what I have. But I want holy ground. I've not come to play church. I don't care. Look, that ship sailed so many years ago, I don't even think about it anymore. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in fame. As someone said to me the other day, "Oh, Brother Cooley, you've got such a sweet voice." Under my breath, I walked away and said, "You liar." I don't mean no offense. I don't necessarily call it. I don't try to sing. I beller. I think that's what we used to call that, beller. He just beller. That's all I do is beller. But I do it because I love him so much. I'm not looking to be professional. I'm not looking to make my own album. I'm not looking to travel around and sing. God didn't call me to be a singer. He called me to be a preacher. And that's what I've come here tonight to do. I've come to deliver my soul. And to be a preacher unto you. And to tell you the things that God has put in my heart and in my spirit. Tell them. Warn them. I have told you. And I have warned you. Judgment is coming. Make no mistake about it. Judgment is coming. But for the child of God, it makes no difference. Because in the darkest Stygian night, His light shines brighter and brighter. And if you'll walk up that mountain, if you'll turn aside to see why the bush isn't burnt, I promise you, His light will grow brighter. And you'll walk through the darkest midnight as if it was high noon. Did you hear me? That means your darkest night will be bright as the noonday sun. Because that's what it is when the Lord is with you. Now, Moses didn't know. He thought he was going to be a deliverer. But after 40 years of delivering, what they found was the judgment of God. And that judgment would kill off an entire generation in the wilderness. But because they obeyed the Lord, Canaan land was just in sight. And the day would come over 40 years later. God would do exactly what He said He would do. And He brought them into a land that was large and plenteous. The Bible says it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Did you notice the way that it worded it? It wasn't a detriment. But the Lord said, "I'm taking you a land, and this land has Hivites and Jebusites and Malachites and otherites." And... But it was like the Lord was saying, "That ain't going to matter. That's part of your possession." No. You didn't get it. It's like He was saying, "It ain't going to matter because that's part of your possession." I remember, Caleb. There was a mountain that they couldn't defeat. It was full of giants. Now, you see, Caleb had the promise. Caleb goes up to Joshua and says, "Hey." Now, Caleb was an old man. But he said, "You know what? That mountain that you haven't been able to defeat because it's full of giants," he said, "Joshua, give me that mountain." He said, "Give me that mountain. For we are well able to go up and take the country." Can I tell you that through his dying day, that was Caleb's mountain. You didn't hear of no giants anymore. God was with him and he was victorious. When you leave this world, you need to be victorious. Tonight's your night. It's your wake-up call, if I can say it that way. God said, you warn him. I said, I'll warn him. And I have done so. Judgment is coming. Will you turn aside and see? Judgment is coming. Will you lay down your garbage? That's what I call it. Your fakeness. Your false spirituality. Lay down your spiritual adulteries. Stop playing in the things of the world. God sees, God hears, God knows. Lay it all down and turn aside to see why the bush is not burnt. And let the Spirit of God draw you in. He'll shed you of your shoes. And you'll be on holy ground. And there'll be no doubt because the Lord Himself will speak to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's my altar song. You don't like it? Take it up with the complaint department. We don't have one of those, do we? Good, I'm safe. This is your house. We're going to sing this song. But oh dear God, don't let it be just a song to you. Let tonight be the night that you turn aside and see. I don't care what time it is. Let tonight be the night that you turn aside to see this great sight. Why, the bush is burning, but it is not consumed. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their fears. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. Your prayer is...